Good day and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow Full Year 2018 Financial and Business Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Sergei Lukyanov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are happy to welcome you today at the announcement of Full Year 2018 Financial Results Call of Credit Bank of Moscow. Thank you for following our performance. Our today's speakers will be CEO of the bank, Mr. Vladimir Chubar, who will start the discussion from a brief highlight of key financial and business results, and Eric DeBosshan, Senior Vice President of the bank, who will present the financial performance of the bank in more detail. After the presentation, we will open a Q&A session. You are welcome to join it with any questions. Now, I turn the floor over to our first speaker. Vladimir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sergei. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your interest in our credit. I'm happy to report today on another year of solid performance of Credit Bank of Moscow, bringing us with optimism and broader set of opportunities in last year. Sorry, in 2019, this year. Last year was quite challenging from the macro perspective and required adaptation to new risks. Nevertheless, changes bring opportunities which we have successfully taken advantage of. Uncertainty persisted in the global economy throughout the year, having especially toughened for Russian companies starting from April last year and eased only early this year. Last year, we managed to take advantage of strong markets in the beginning of the year by placing another senior Eurobond at the lowest coupon ever for the bank for this type of transactions. We also signed $400 million syndicated loan facility with a pool of international banks, bringing external public funding to almost $1 billion in the first quarter last year. Once volatility increased later in the year, we were active in liability management exercises, securing liquidity for the market and supporting secondary trading levels of our bonds. Domestic economic situation has been rather stable. Fundamentals are prudent and proved to be among the strongest in the emerging markets, which is also evidenced by the recent sovereign ratings upgrade by Moody's on widened internal policies, robust public finance, positive current account balance. The Central Bank of Russia guarantees stability in the banking sector with its widened policy. Liquidity has been ample and the growth opportunities quite modest, leading to higher competition and lower interest rates. Nevertheless, we keep on growing on all key business lines with improving risk metrics and stronger operating results, which we will discuss in more detail during our presentation today. Importantly, we have also expanded our franchise beyond Moscow and Moscow region by acquiring deposit base of Sovetsky Bank, ensuring access to stable and relatively cheap retail source of funding. Now let's move to a detailed discussion of our results and start from slide number 2, which describes key financial highlights. Profit for the period is over 30% up year on year, reaching more than 27 billion rubles as a result of the business growth and improvement of risk indicators. Net interest income increased by almost 7% versus 2017, following efficient business expansion. Fee and commission income is almost flat at 15.8 billion rubles with a slight positive dynamics. Net interest margin is decreased to 2.7%, evidencing higher competition in the sector and large liquidity buffer on the balance sheet of the bank. Return on average equity improved to almost 20%. Continuing positive dynamics of the recent couple of years. Cost-to-income ratio is 29.8%, evidencing consistently high efficiency of the business. Gross loans to customers increased in the last quarter of 2018 by 5% to 740 billion rubles, but still year-on-year business volume is somewhat lower, mainly due to large redemptions by a few corporates in the first quarter and efficient work with impaired loans during 2018. Loan portfolio quality is improving. NPL ratio is down to 1.6% from 2.4% year-on-year, and the cost of risk is down to 1% from 2.5%. Total provisions to NPLs are traditionally high at 260% versus almost the same amount last year, the same ratio last year. Capital adequacy ratios remain strong and adequate for further business expansion, with a Tier 1 ratio of 14.1% and total capital adequacy ratio of almost 22%. Now let's move to business highlights on slide number 3. Gross corporate loans decreased by 12% to 643 billion rubles due to large redemptions, as detailed before. Retail loans increased by 10% during 2018 to 97 billion rubles, and evidence reversal in our retail business strategy from slowdown of operations to careful selective growth. Corporate loans now and strategically going forward dominate in the loan book, making 87% of total loans, and share of retail loans might slightly increase in the upcoming periods. Loan book is well diversified, with crude oil production and trading making 27% of total loans, petroleum refining standing at 22%, residential construction 9%, and automotive sector 8%. A retail loan book reflects our usual product mix. Cash loans generate most of the business, making 75% in total retail loans, and mortgages a bit more than 21%. The development of our relatively new business line, investment banking, is well underway. Last year, CBM won in the breakthrough of the year nomination of C-Bonds Russia, following its tape into top 10 bond arrangers and underwriters in Russia, having arranged 19 bond issues last year. These were the key highlights on business development. Now I would like to turn the floor over to Eric. Eric, please go ahead.
Thank you, Vladimir. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So now let's turn to slide number 4 with a detailed overview of the bank's income and expenses. Operating income showed positive dynamics year to year. As it's shown on the top left diagram, total operating income grew by 4% to 65 billion rubles, which was generally driven by the development of CBM's different business lines. The major part, 74% of total operating income, is represented by the net interest income, which grew by 7% year-on-year to 48.4 billion rubles, due to, on one hand, an expansion of interbank business, and on the other hand, an increase of the share of ruble-denominated assets, which on average earn higher interest. The net fee and commission income stayed flat year-on-year and amounted to 12.3 billion rubles. The main source of fee and commission income during 2018 were cash operations, including cash handling services, commission from operation with plastic cards, and commissions from insurance contracts processing. Positive dynamics on the income side was offset by increased fee and commission expenses related to payment card, cashback, and loyalty programs. Total fee and commission expenses grew year on year from 3 to 3.5 billion rubles. This resulted in a slight decrease of the share of the net fee and commission income in total income to 18.9% in 2018, as you may see on the bottom left diagram. Other net income stayed at the level of 2017 and amounted 4.5 billion rubles. Big contribution to the other net income came from the buyback of the bank's own Eurobonds from the market in the course of 2018. Lower operating lease income in 2018 compared to 2017 reflected the sale of CBM's leasing subsidiaries, CBM Ireland Leasing Limited. On the upper right diagram, it reflected that operating expenses grew by 16% year-on-year. The growth mainly came from salaries and employment benefits,
which increased from 9.5 to 12.3 billion rubles. Such increase was mainly attributable to the increase of annual bonuses in comparison with last year, and on growth of the number of employees by almost 1,000 people in the respective period. Administrative expenses showed an increase of 13% year-on-year to 6.1 billion rubles, which was driven by advertising and business development costs. The bank's cost-to-income ratio stayed at 29.8%, evidencing high operational efficiency. Finally, the net interest margin trends are presented on the bottom right diagram. In the reporting period, NIM ratio decreased from 2.9 to 2.6%. Net interest margin remains under pressure due to, on one hand, large proportion of low-risk, highly liquid assets, and on the other hand, increased competition on the market, putting pressure on interest rates. We consider that another ratio is more accurate indicator of the bank's business efficiency. This is the net interest income to average risk-weighted assets. As it is showed on the diagram, the dynamics of this ratio is flat over the past 3 years, evidencing sustainability of the bank's core business lines. Now let's move to slide number 5 with a breakdown of the bank's total assets. In the reporting period, total assets increased by 14% to 2.1 trillion rubles. The growth of total assets was mainly attributable to an increase of liquid assets by 29% to 1.4 trillion rubles, thus representing 66% of total assets. 98% of deposits in credit institutions are represented by repo transactions, of which 99% have a maturity of less than 1 month. Securities portfolio mostly include top-tier, highly liquid debt securities and serve as part of the bank's liquidity buffer. On top of this, as of 1st of January, the total amount of additional unused liquidity sources comprised a very significant buffer of roughly 700 billion rubles, which components are detailed on the bottom right pie chart. These namely are unpledged security with the bank received under reverse repo transactions, free of pledge owned securities from the CBR Lombard list, and loans eligible for pledge to the CBR. The loan portfolio quality remained the bank's key priority in 2018, which materialized in an 8% decrease of net loan book to 709 billion rubles. It resulted from big repayments outstepping new loans origination and settlements of loans to corporate customers with high credit risk. Now I suggest turning to slide number 6 on the loan portfolio quality. The portfolio risk metrics surged from stability to sustainable improvement. As described on the upper left diagram, gross loan portfolio increased by 5% quarter on quarter, evidencing a recovery of corporate loan book in the fourth quarter 2018. Coverage by impairment allowance reduced to 4.2% in the Q4, showing an improvement of loan portfolio risk metrics. As shown on the upper right diagram, the impairment allowance provides a comfortable coverage of NPLs of 260% at the end of 2018. This ratio decreased quarter on quarter due to a settlement of a large corporate loan in December 18. On the bottom left diagram, cost of risk and NPL ratios dynamics is presented. Year on year, the NPL ratio decreased from 2.4 to 1.6%, evidencing the efficient work conducted with problem loans during the year. Cost of risk decreased from 2.5% down to 1% year on year. The bottom right diagram depicts the level of related party lending, which is stable at a level of 3.4% of the gross loan portfolio. Now I suggest turning to slide 7, where loan portfolio classification in accordance with IFRS 9 is provided. So in the diagram, you can see the breakdown of corporate loan portfolio into three stages, plus the category named Purchased or Originated Credit Impaired, POCI. The stage from 1 to 3 represents the classification of the loan book by credit quality from the highest to the lowest, respectively. Quarterly dynamics evidences the improvement of corporate loan portfolio quality during 2018. For instance, the share of Stage 1 loans increased from 82.4% at the end of March 18 to 89% at the end of December 18. At the same time, the share of Stage 3 loan, which is the most risky segment, decreased from 12.7% down to 2% due to repayments and settlements of few large impaired loans. So the POCI segment, which was newly created during the fourth quarter of 2018, includes loans to reliable customers attracted for financing of purchase of impaired assets. This segment is not considered as distressed, and in our case, it's somehow like stage 2 loans in terms of risk classification. The zero credit allowance for this segment means that the credit quality of these loans is not expected to deteriorate in the future. The next slide, number 8, provides a breakdown of loan portfolio risk metrics on corporate and retail loans. Corporate gross loans book decreased from 731 to 644 billion rubles as a result of several big redemptions and, to a large extent, settlement of several large problem loans, which facilitated positive trends of risk indicators. At the end of 2018, the NPL ratio went down to 1.2%. NPL coverage ratio of the corporate loan portfolio increased to 328%. The cost of risk reduced to 0.9% compared to 2.3% in 2017. In the right part of the slide, you can see retail loans risk metrics. NPL ratio demonstrated a continuing downward trend and decreased to 4.3% by the end of 2018, which mainly resulted from the improvements of mortgage loans NPL, which declined during 2018 from 6.3% to 3.8%. Cost of risk demonstrated positive dynamics, decreasing to 1.4%. Let's now move to slide number 9, which illustrates the funding structure of the bank. As you can see, total liabilities went up by 14% to 2 trillion rubles. The deposit base, which accounts for 65% of total liabilities, showed positive dynamics in the reporting period. Corporate deposits grew by 38% to 897 billion rubles. Retail deposits grew by 29%, including the effect from acquisition of the deposit base of Bank Sovietsky. Deposits by credit institutions were mainly represented by repo transactions, which accounted for 88% of overall interbank balances. The debt repayment schedule is comfortable for the bank, with the bulk of wholesale funding being due after the year 2022. Now I suggest turning to the final slide, number 10, on the bank's capital position. During the second half of the year, the bank optimized its capital structure by partial redemption of subordinated Eurobonds, which were replaced by the new perpetual domestic bonds issuance in the amount of 5 billion rubles. As you can see on the upper right diagram, the IFRS ratio increased in absolute terms, which was offset by the bank's business growth, which led to a slight decrease of these ratios by the end of 2018. On the bottom right graph, you can see the dynamics of Russian accounting standard capital ratios. The regulatory minimums, including buffers applicable for systemically important banks, were by far overtopped, with N11 amounting 8.2%, N12 11.6%, and N10 20.2%, as of the 1st of January 2019. We also see a positive dynamic as of 1st of February, which are the last ratios available, with N11 ratio reaching 8.9%, N12 ratio 12.6%, and finally N10 22.1%. So these were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for the full year 2018. Thank you very much for your attention. And now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad in order to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We will take our first question from Alan Weborn of Societe Generale. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, hi. Thanks for the call. Could you talk us through the sort of risk cost development in the fourth quarter? From what I can see, there were sort of no provisions and therefore presumably some big write-backs in the fourth quarter. So could you just talk us through sort of what exactly went on in the fourth quarter? And could you give us an indication of what you think the underlying risk costs actually are and how we should think about that going forward? That would be the that would be the first question. Now, I know that you look at margins in a slightly different way, but clearly in the Russian market at the moment, funding costs do appear to be going up, and the bigger banks have been talking about margin squeezes in the fourth quarter, and I wondered how you feel that is likely to continue. Are you going to see that pressure? Are you able to offset it with slightly higher rates on your lending? Could you give us some idea about how you see that going forward? That would be the second question. Thirdly,
Alan, excuse me, I will interrupt you because I will answer the first and second if you will ask.
Okay.
Usually for me it's easier. Okay, thank you for the questions regarding the first one. Look, I think it's quite clear and easy to explain. There was a couple of the bad loans in stage number 3. It was the pharmacy chain and refinery, oil refinery. So both of them were sold and paid back. And as we discussed, seems to me early, the provisioning level, which was made in the third quarter, was quite in line with the discount which we used. So, of course, and there was two reasons to material decrease of the stage 3 loans. And actually, also, I want to ask to look at the coverage level, which is now almost 80% in the stage 3. It means that the final net volume of this stage 3 is, let's say, less than 0.5% in the loan book, which is, I think, much better figure than even I personally predicted in last year. In terms of the margin, I've heard this from many of my colleagues in the system that, yes, of course, the cost of the funding is increasing because of the tendency which happened in, let's say, August, September last year, a couple of increase of the key rate. But first of all, we can reprice some of our loans, which we did, and actually we are quite careful now in terms of the new lending and the price of new lending. So there is no reason for us now to have some fight and big competition with some other market players for the lending, number one. Number two, from the beginning of this year, we have quite a good results in terms of on-call funding, in particular from the retail side, which making our cost of funding less expensive, more cheap general. So I don't see, so my projection for this year that we are not expecting the decrease of the net interest margin in both ways, in a way of like usual counting, and how we also presenting this using RWA. And I think that it should be quite stable. Maybe something will change. Maybe there will be some material changes in the situation, but we're also not expecting this. Now, question number three.
And in terms of, can I ask on the risk costs, in terms of the underlying, what would you say they were for the full year? I mean, what 1% risk costs is not what you would assume from Credit Bank of Moscow going forward. I think it would be a little higher than that.
I expect, and actually we put this in our model and our budget for this year. We are expecting 1.5% roughly. So, but you know, we just decided to be conservative as usual. But at the same time, we should look really at the figures, and we should look really at the portfolio. Currently, as I said on some other calls before, I don't see any troubles in the portfolio which can create more than, let's say, 1.5% cost of risk.
Okay, and all right, super. And in terms of your retail business, I see that you're intending to bid for another small bank that's up for grabs. Talk us a little bit more through your mindset, your thinking about why you're doing that.
Look, in terms of it's actually a good question, because I also want to give to everybody more clarity on this. In terms of Asian Pacific Bank, currently, as we disclosed in our IFRS, we are technically ready to go to the auction, but at this very moment, there is no final decision made that we will participate, because the due diligence is in progress. And just want to underline once again, currently we are technically ready, so we got all the permissions from all the bodies that should give these permissions, but until now we are still looking. Number one. Number two, in terms of the business model, why we think that it potentially can be interesting for us. Of course, number one, because of the regional expansion. After last year, we've got deposit base from Sovetsky Bank, as we said on the call, and after we understood that there is really a big potential in a retail business in other regions, we decided that, yes, if there will be some opportunities, and for us, the Asian Pacific Bank idea is really opportunistic, we decided, okay, we should look at this. In terms of geographical coverage, this region is very good for us, because it's really far from Moscow. Asian Pacific Bank is covered in Asia, much more concentrated in Russia. It's more retail, as you said, and in terms of retail customers, it's quite a big base for the extra cross-sale of our products and making potentially our products more interesting for these people. But I think that's kind of all information I can say in general, because a lot of information we got from the bank, it's really not public, and it's really under non-disclosure agreement. And I think that final decision we will make on next week, just maybe 1-2 days until the auction.
Okay. Super. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We have received a further question. Alex Alvin Chu of Trend Capital, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Vladimir. Hi, Eric. Just maybe a medium-term strategy question for you. Could you maybe give us some insights as to what is the drivers, right, for the bank's earnings in say, 2 or 3 years' time? So I think last time we spoke, obviously, the retail part is a strategic initiative of the bank, which you are growing right now. But then at the same time, you know, you are now looking at acquisitions, you know, new acquisitions in the banking sector. So I'd just like to know, going forward, like in the next 2 or 3 years, you know, in terms of strategy, push, and earnings drivers, you know, what can we expect from Credit Bank of Moscow? Thank you.
Hi, Alvin. Nice to hear you. Thank you for the question. Look, we think that, of course, we are not going to change materially our business model. There is, I think we're quite a universal bank, and all we're going to make, all the stuff we're going to make, it's just to make a fine tuning of the current model. I should say something about the business lines we have. The biggest one, of course, in terms of profitability, it's a corporate business. We are expecting that within the next 2-3 years, there will be a really good opportunities, and some of them because of, let's say, some changes in the regulation. Like one of these ideas is the construction, because last year was quite active in terms of changes in the construction regulation, and now it's much more protection for the banks, much more protection for the retail people, for the retail segment. So this is one of the opportunities, and number of other. And of course, we still want to concentrate on the bigger names. We don't see that there is a potential for us to grow in the midterm in a mid-sized companies, because our experience saying to us that this is the main source of the troubles we have in the portfolio. And but also small companies, small enterprises, and even micro potentially can be point of growth in terms of the earnings, of course, not in terms of the balance sheet, because even it cannot be material, but in terms of earnings, it's really what we are discussing now. The retail, look, last year, actually, we did the growth and in last years, and we are expecting the same figures, maybe even more for this year. I think about 20% can be done without extra risk and with a quite, let's say, moderate risk and with a good profitability. And, of course, it's also a big task for this year for the retail and both for the corporate business to decrease cost of fund. And just I'm coming back to the question from Alan, the first one. And, of course, mainly to attract more on call deposits, current accounts, which are, of course, much cheaper. And actually, as I said, the first couple of months this year, 2019, showing a very good tendency in these kind of products. Investment banking, and of course, the biggest part of our balance sheet is repo. I'm not expecting that it will grow quite big now, and this year, a big part of our balance sheet, and I think that now it's time to work much more on the corporate side and on the retail side in terms of balance sheet. But of course, in investment banking, as I said in my speech, in my first speech, they did a very great job in terms of opening new business lines. For example, as we did many new bonds for our corporate customers, for our partners, and actually they recognized us as a very good partner and quite efficient and experienced. I think that's all I can say.
But Vladimir, I understand large corporate is your franchise, but Is there any difference to the strategy? Because, you know, lending the large corporates in within Russia is a very competitive market, right? So are you now perhaps looking to finance them beyond Russian borders?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's still pretty much
absolutely
the same.
No. So no. Look. Russia. We don't see any opportunities for us to lend to some other companies. Of course, it can be done because to finance international companies, but they should have business in Russia, and it can be holding companies of the big Russian corporates or some other stuff like this, but nothing which is not linked to Russia. Of course, so we are Russian oriented bank only.
All right. Thank you, Benjamin.
Thank you, Alvin. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We will take our next question from Ekaterina Sidova of Sberbank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Congratulations on a strong set of fourth quarter and the full year results. My first question is about the asset structure. Apparently, the last year was a kind of balance sheet restructuring combined with some large ticket corporate loan repayments. So mainly the asset growth was driven mainly by increase of treasury operations, and now we see higher share of this kind of operations and a bit lower share of lending business. And this is something which in particular was mentioned by Akra in a recent report as one of the risks. I mean, the balance of this kind of treasury operations and lending operations. Is this something which you keep eye on? And do you have any target in terms of the size of the treasury operations and lending operations on your balance sheet? So this is my first question.
Ekaterina, thank you very much for the good words. Look, in terms of the first part of the question, let's say about Akra, a few words. So, of course, they mentioned this, but in our view, for the Russian corporate sector, as I said, actually answering the previous question from Alvin, we see that the corporates, and especially big corporate, blue chip guys, and even smaller, it's really more like safe haven. It's more protected. They are much more, let's say, transparent. You can really believe the figures they give you, et cetera, because with the smaller companies, we really face some issues. And now we are not sure we can trust to the figures we have from them. In terms of the growth, potential growth this year, we are expecting, actually, Akra disclosed this, we are expecting, let's say, about 10 to 15% potential growth in the loan book. I think we should be closer to 10%, which is more in line with the reality. And in terms of the treasury operations, how you call them, I think that it should be flat. Because, as I said, for us this year, much more attention we will pay to the corporate business and to the retail business in terms of the balance sheet.
Thank you very much. And my second question is about your recent transaction on capital markets. So last month you printed a euro-denominated deal. So could you please share your rationale regarding the choice of the currency? Are you satisfied with the results? And if we should expect more such deals to come?
Look, the deal was very successful. Honestly, we expected that, of course, it should open for us a new investor base, mainly from Europe, but the result was much better than we expected. Why we decided to try this currency? First of all, we are quite active in general, so we look all the time at all the opportunities, and we found that potentially there is a demand, and some of the investors asked about this and said that potentially they can be interested. This is number one. Number two, it's the, let's say, de-dollarization now in progress. And just about 3-4 weeks ago, there was some meeting, if I'm not mistaken, between Russian and European politicians. And they came to conclusion that they should use more local currencies, of course, more euros in the payments than just dollar as a currency of the contracts. And actually, last year was quite active for us in terms of lending in euro as a natural currency. And there was some requests from the corporate customers. And actually, it was also one of the reasons, because we, in ideal world, we like to have the balance on liabilities and assets among all the currencies, if we can make it, of course. In euro, actually, we did this, because we really closed the shortage of the funding in euro when we made this deal. So this is kind of three rationals, which of course, I can disclose to you, and there's no other, actually. And in terms of pricing, the current market is good, I mean, for the investors. But honestly, we are not upset, because it's kind of new instrument, and we are happy that investors on the secondary market took some money.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ekaterina. Thank you.
It appears we have no further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the conference back to our host for any additional or closing remarks. Apologies, we have just received another question. Would you like to take the question?
Yes, of course. Yes.
Perfect. Yana Ankina of BCP Securities, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking my call. Congratulations on a solid set of results. Just two small clarifying questions on you answering previous colleagues. Coverage level stage 3, could you please repeat that number and also the name of the bank you're potentially interested in acquiring? This line was not clear and couldn't hear very well. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a public story. It's Asian Pacific Bank, which for last year is a part of the fund which was established by the CBR to collect the banks which have a chance to be sold in the future. And actually, this bank will be an auction 14th of March, in which we now technically ready to participate, but we didn't make any decision yet. And this is about this Asian Pacific Bank. In Russian is ATB, Азиатско-Тихоокеанский банк.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the coverage level stage 3 loans, please?
Say again, please.
Coverage level of your stage 3 loans, please.
It's in the presentation. It's almost 80%. It's 79.7. Hello?
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, that's all. Thank you very much.
We have no further questions at this time.
Well, dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention. We hope that our presentation was helpful in terms of disclosure of all the important details of the financial results for the full year 2018. In case of any further questions, please get in touch with our investor relations team. The contacts are available at our website. Thank you and have a good day.
Pardon the interruption.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah.
Pardon, so we have just received a follow-up question. Would you like to take it at this time?
Yes, we have time. Yeah.
Perfect. Alan Werborn of Societe Generale, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Okay. Sorry to keep you another second.
Yes.
In terms of your fee income, I mean, clearly it's been pretty flat last year. Do you think that the investment banking business is actually going to help you to grow that a little bit more going forward? Just to give us an idea. I mean, again, maybe it's because you're underweight in retail, but one of the phenomenons that we've seen from some of your larger peers in Russia is very good fee income growth. and I understand from what's happened in the past, but I just wondered, do you think this is a source of revenue that you might be able to do a little bit better with going forward?
Look, thank you for the following question, but I hope that my colleagues from IB are not hearing me. Honestly, it's not very, let's say, huge business in terms of the fee income. Because, of course, you know that last, as we are as an issuer, we are usually quite tough with the banks and squeezing them to get the best result with the less fees. But you know that for this year, of course, I'm not expecting that it can be very material. Maybe it will add some, I don't know, 1-2% to the growth in terms of the fee income, but it cannot create some, I don't know, 10-20%. I think that actually last year was one of the upsets for me. Last year, and I really was upset. It's really the level of the fee income in the last year, because the goal was a bit higher and the growth was less than we expected, and that's why for this year I will be even more tough with the corporate and with the retail business, just, you know, because it should provide last year plan and in addition to this year plan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. That's we'll all. See. Thanks a lot.
Yes, thank you. And now I should say also some thanks to everybody who was on the call. And we'll hear you, I hope, in a couple of months with the results of the first quarter. Thank you very much.
Apologies, sir. We have received another follow-up question. Would you like to take it?
Of course, yes. If we receive, yes, of course.
Perfect. Anna Yanica of BCP Securities, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you for taking the call. Just one more follow-up question. In terms of your expansion in the regions, and you mentioned the positive changes in legislation in terms of construction and protection specifically for consumers and the banks, do you expect that your mortgages will grow at some point? And do you see that as a source of growth for your retail portfolio?
Look, thank you for the question. Mortgages, of course, due to the changes in the regulation, as I said, the retail segment much more protected, and of course we are expecting more demand in terms of mortgages. Until now, we cannot quantify it because I think it's a big question which all the banks asking themselves, trying to understand how these changes can, what kind of the demand in the mortgages these changes can create. Actually, officially, these changes will be from the 1st of July, if I'm not mistaken, this year. But all the developers, all the construction companies, they are starting to prepare themselves for this, I think, already now. But it can add, I don't know, another 10% growth in the mortgages. If more, okay, it will be good. It's not material, so it will be good, but I'm not sure.
10% for you or overall for the kind of like all banks in the country?
I think it's all the market. It can really add about 10% to all the market.
Okay.
I mean, to all the demand, to let's say to usual demand, which will be anyway.
Right.
But I mean, for all the market.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And no more questions.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Yes, thank you.
This will conclude today's question and answer session.
Okay. Once again, thanks to everybody for being on the call. Once again, thank you for the good words about our results. We will continue to do good work. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.